The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. My next guest is using his exceptional political knowledge and deep political background to try to convince the young that politics mattered, which the received wisdom would suggest is an impossible task. Alistair Campbell, good morning.
Hi, Anton. How are you?
I am very good. Alistair, there's a sort of a sense that says that mortgages, the having of children, the car loans, insurance, tax, all of that, that it is those things that eventually stimulate somebody in their late 20s to get involved in some way in politics, or at least paying political attention. And up until that point, there's no point even trying.
Yeah, and I just don't agree with that. I think that, you know, if you look at the UK, the country's in a mess, politics is in a mess. And I think one of the reasons is that our political debate is not skewed enough towards young people and their interests. And I think one of the reasons for that is that older people vote more. I make the point in the books, and I've written two books, one for primary schools and one for secondary schools. And they're trying to explain that, you know, they're not sort of biased. I've tried not to be biased. I'm not saying vote Labour. I'm not saying the Tories are terrible. I'm not saying Brexit was a disaster, all things which I believe. I'm actually just saying, you know, you taking an interest is part of the restoration of the democratic health that we've lost. And, you know, if you think about our campaign, I'm sure, I know you guys have been covering our campaign a lot. And there's a reason why Rishi Sunak started off with national service for the young and then triple lock plus on pensions. Both of those policies were designed to speak to older people, particularly those older people that he worried were flaking off towards Nigel Farage's party. And the reason for that is that politicians know that young people tend to vote less. And I'm just making the point that politics is not a game. It's not entertainment. It matters to every single thing that every single person cares about, whether that's your education, whether it's the issues you mentioned of housing and all the other things that people care about. At some point, they interact with politics and the political process. And, you know, it's a scandal in our country. I don't know what the situation is in the Republic of Ireland, but in our country, unless you do politics A-level from 16 to 18, you don't learn about politics in our schools. So where do you learn about politics? Through your parents, who may care or may not care, who may be well-informed or not well-informed, or you learn about it through the media, which frankly, particularly in our country, is very, very biased, very trivializing. So I'm just trying to say, get engaged, get involved, and the first and most important thing is to know how the system works.
Whatever about the bias, that trivialization is very difficult, I would imagine, if you're trying to engage younger people with politics, because all that they see of it is, by virtue of the need to keep eyeballs involved, is the spectacle, yeah, is the sensation, is the arguments, is the fights, is the name-calling, is all of that kind of thing. It's very difficult to show the sausage being made.
Yeah, but that's why education is so important. I mean, the fact is that, you know, if you look at the impact that TikTok is having on our politics, and this isn't just for young people. I mean, Nigel Farage, love him or loathe him, he's a very, very, he's hopeless at policy. He'd be a total disaster as a governing politician. But he's very good at media exploitation. He's very good at populism. And he absolutely knocks the others out of the park when it comes to something like TikTok. And I get quite alarmed how many young people, we had this with Boris Johnson as well. You'd meet young people, say, oh, I'm voting Tory because Boris Johnson makes me laugh. I fancy reform because Nigel Farage is really funny. He does really good TikTok videos. I mean, that is really, really, really dangerous. And the antidote to that, though, Anton, so the podcast that I do with Rory Stewart, we've done some, so we've had 14 million downloads a month since the election was called, okay? We've done some data on it. We are getting roughly a third of our listeners are under 30. So they're listening to two old blokes talk about politics for over an hour at a go. And that means that they're interested in it, but they don't like the way that it's presented to them. We got three times as many people listening to us, just me and Rory Stewart, talking about the TV debate the other night than The Sun, one of the country's, you know, biggest newspapers, had watching on YouTube the live debate that they did between Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak. That says to me that people are looking for something a bit deeper than they're getting through most of the media.
Is there a lesson for that in the politicians themselves and how 100%. They do?
100%.
Because I think back to, if you look at Reagan, one of the things that Reagan never got enough credit for was his capacity to be very funny while dealing with quite significant issues of policy. He managed not to be po-faced. Well, whether you agreed with the policy positions or not, he did manage to bring levity, humour, comedy, all of that to what he did. It seems now that we have politicians who are either on the Farage and Johnston feeding the media beast end of the spectrum, or they're po-faced.
There's something in that. There's something in that, and I think you can get both. And I think actually in the modern age you do need both. And interesting, you mentioned Reagan, and it won't surprise you to know, I mean, a lot of my politics were formed during the kind of Reagan-Thatcher era, and that's when I realised I was fundamentally a Labour person. I didn't like this brand of this political philosophy. But I, for a previous book I wrote about, the last book I wrote about political activism, But What Can I Do?, I quoted Reagan's speech, his final speech. And honestly, anybody who's interested in politics, go and look it up. Reagan's last speech as American president when he was leaving the White House. There's not a single, and it's a brilliant speech. It's about immigration. There's not a single word of that speech that Donald Trump could utter, because it's warm, it's empathetic, it's got a historical perspective, and he has this amazing line about, you know, you can go to Japan, but you won't become Japanese. You can go to France, but you won't become French. You can go to Germany, you won't become German. But anybody can come to the United States and become an American. It's an amazing speech. And, you know, so I agree with you. I think you have to have that combination. I think, to be fair, my old boss had it. I think Tony Blair could do both the, you know, the serious and the light, and you need a bit of that. But, you know, my bigger point is that we've got to get serious about politics again. Otherwise, the populists are going to keep winning.
Can I ask on that then, just to challenge you on one bit of it? You talk about in the book why you never chose to stand for election. Could I suggest that to some extent you're proof of some of the challenge of getting people involved in politics? Because you have been adjacent to the highest level of politics for decades, but have never made the leap to total involvement. You've never put yourself before the electorate.
That is true. And I explain in the book that the reason for that, it's complicated, but the time was never right. And you do have to take into account things like, you know, family and all that stuff. But the other point I do make in the book is politics is not just about politicians. I meet so many people who say, I want to get into politics, but I don't want to be a public figure. Well, you can do that. You can work for a politician. You can write. You can actually, being a journalist these days is part of politics, working for an NGO, working as a volunteer. So the point I make is politics is not just about the politicians. But listen, I think one of the reasons, you know, as you know, Anton, I've got A-level guilt and about lots of things. And I think part of the reason why I am doing all this stuff, trying to educate kids and going and talking in schools and stuff, I do feel guilty that I never actually took that final step. I will go to my grave thinking that there were times when I should have done, and I didn't, because as I explain in the book, the time was never quite right. 97, Tony said to me, you should get a seat. And I said, well, hold on, you want me to run the campaign? Do you think, how can I do both? Oh yeah, fair point. 2001, I wanted to get a seat, and Tony said, no, you've got to do the campaign. 2005, post-Iraq war, leaving Downing Street. I was sick to death of the whole lot of it. I didn't want to be involved. I went back to help on the campaign. And then each election since then, it's kind of been suggested to me, and it hasn't felt right. And you imagine if Labour now looked like they're in a pretty good place, but imagine if I'd gone and get myself a seat and I'd spent years with Jeremy Corbyn as the leader of the Labour Party, I'd have probably hated every minute of it. So you do make selfish decisions sometimes.
I should say the book, of course, called Why Politics Matters, and it is aimed at and structured for young people, both in sort of primary age and secondary age, because there's two editions, and it is filled with both explanations of the mechanisms of politics, how the Speaker of the House works, all of that kind of stuff, and sort of calls to action and the kind of things that politics can influence. Two unrelated things, Alistair. The first, I tuned into you on YouTube the other day and saw you wearing a tie and thought, oh, this must be important. And then the next shot was Nancy Pelosi. How did you get on with Nancy Pelosi?
She was great, but she's so spiky. and she did not hold back on Iraq. I mean, she did not hold back. She really went for me and my old boss on that one. I should just say, by the way, Anton, there's two books. The one you mentioned is for primary schools, and the one that's for senior schools is called Alistair Campbell Talks Politics. So there's two coming out together. I'm very, very greedy like that. No, Nancy Pelosi was was a very, very interesting guest. We've been really, really lucky in the guests that we had. When Rory and I came over the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, we did some amazing interviews on it. We did Bertie, we did Gerry Adams, Mary McAleese. We did Tony Blair on the peace process, Jonathan Powell. It was Hillary Clinton. It was really, you know, and we're now getting in a position where the podcast is doing so well that we're having to turn down kind of, you know, really serious political figures who say they want to come and say, oh, we've got a big backlog. So it's, you know, and I, again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that what people say they like about these interviews is we're not trying to get people, we're not trying to catch them, we don't care about whether it makes headlines. We want to say to somebody, come on for an hour, even 2 hours. We did Kwasi Kwarteng, who, you know, wrecked the economy. And I said to him, look, come on, I'll give you a hard time, but I'll be fair. You'll definitely be given time to explain yourself. And we ended up doing twice as long as we'd planned to do because it was interesting. And so I think that sort of long form. And the other thing to tell you, Anton, you know, I know that you read a lot. One of the industries that is doing really, really well at the moment is the book industry. Now, if it's true that we all just care about, you know, what's the next tweet, what's the next TikTok video, why is that the case? Answer, I think, because a lot of people are looking for depth at the moment rather than trivia and superficiality.
Well, I have to say just congratulations on the podcast because the success of it has been remarkable over the past while. Two final things, Alistair. I need to get your view on Biden and Trump last night and where we're looking in terms of the UK general. The general wisdom that, because I didn't see it live, I had to watch it this morning. I saw all of this thing saying car crash, saying disaster, and I thought it can't be that bad. Having watched it, it's hard to salvage anything other than it's that bad for Biden.
Well, we've just recorded what we grandiosely call an emergency podcast. And I actually said, I think this really is an emergency. Look, I love Joe Biden. I think he's been a good president, an amazing public servant. But, you know, you have to watch that and think, if this is what he's like today, what will he be like in 5 years at the end of another 4 year term? I think sometimes in politics you have to be absolutely brutal and ruthless, and the Democrat Party's got to be brutal and ruthless now, and it's got to say, sorry, the only way to stop Trump, who is a real and present danger to the future of democracy and the future of the world, is to find the guy who can absolutely be confident of beating him. And that performance last night, I'm afraid, was not good.
As to the UK election, I assume you are getting the bunting ready and stocking up on the champagne?
Absolutely not. Absolutely 100% not. In fact, I'm really, really, really alarmed at the extent to which the debate is now, it's all over what happens next. Unless people get out and vote in this cynical, apathetic world, then nothing changes. And look, you look at the polls and you think, well, the Tories can't come back, Labour can't do anything other than get a big majority. But I just think you've got to be absolutely anti-complacent and you don't take anything for granted. So no, there'll be no champagne and there'll be no bunting, not least because on the night I'm going to be on Channel 4 News all night.
Alistair, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. That is Alistair Campbell and the two books, Talks Politics, the book aimed at secondary schools is available, as is Why Politics Matters, the one aimed at primary schools, and The Rest is Politics, available anywhere you get your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.